Pizza Ranch Saturday Morning Coaches Show with Sports Director Jeff Blankman.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show. Coming up later in this hour, and have Eric Noggle of the Boys Wrestling Program at Carroll High, Shane Vaughn of the Kemper Boys Wrestling Program, Deb Danner talking about the Carroll Swim Team, Katie Cook of the Carroll Girls, Justin Yatmar ahead of their substate or their regional final coming up here, Randy Beeson with the Carroll Boys Basketball Team, and Sean Minahan with the Kemper Boys Basketball Team. Before that, though, we're going to be talking about our Friday results as for girls basketball. You had Coon Rapids Baird picking up a win over Martinsdale St. Mary's 51-30. You had Anna Hart with 15 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, and 6 steals. The other score in that region was St. Albert toppling Fremont Mills 67-28. For Class 1A Region 7, Exira Elkhorn Kimbleton advances to a regional final, and they defeat Caminita 55-31. Taryn Peterson and Jalen Peterson both had 14 points in that one. GTRA defeated Kingsley Pearson 58-52 to match them for that regional final. For the Class 1A Region 1 as well, you had Glidden Ralston falling to Newell Fonda 73-33. They finish up their season at 14-10, with Chloe Peters having 11 points in that one. For boys basketball, it was the Kemper Knights defeating Manson Northwest Webster in the Class 2A Region 2 second round. You had a big night out of Dylan Schoen, 27 points, 5 rebounds and assists, 3 steals and a block. The other scores from that are Region 2. South Hardin defeating Woodward Granger 67-52. Gardner Hayfield Ventura downing Forest City 48-46. And Roland Story over Osage 63-46. It was ACGC and Coon Rapids Baird in Class 1A Region 8 where the Crusaders pick up a 72-43 win. Ty Hayden with a huge night, 24 points, 22 rebounds, 5 assists, and a steal. Yeah, Ikea Manning in that same region, and Audubon as well, as Audubon's able to pick up a 3-point win, 55-52. You had a big night at Brody Schultes with 19 points, 2 rebounds, and 2 steals. You also had a good night from Wyatt Danner with 15 points, 3 rebounds, 3 steals, and 2 blocks. The other scores from Region 8 there, Boyd and Hull defeated Lawton Bronson 63-32, and Galen Catholic defeated Kingsley Pearson 48-45. For wrestling at Carroll High, you had Quinton Polkin going 1-1 with a win by decision, Gavin Holt going 2-1 with 2 wins by fall, and Kieran Polkin going 1-1 with a win by fall. South Central Calhoun's Carson Webker went 2-0 with 2 tech falls, Jace Peterson went 1-2 with a tech fall, and Curtis Bullock went 0-1. Coon Rapids Baird had Trainer Coast going 2-1 with 2 falls, Johnny Cortez and Caleb Hoffman both went 0-1. Layton Elmquist of Audubon went 1-2 with a win by decision, and Dawson Allen of ESAC went 0-1. Webker, Coase, Polking, Holt, Elmquist, and Peterson will all wrestle up coming on Saturday. We're going to go ahead and step away. We'll have our coaches show coming up next.
When life gets busy and schedules start shifting, figuring out meals can get a little tricky. Pizza Ranch is here to make it easy. Stop in for their buffet and enjoy all your Pizza Ranch favorites. Prefer to stay in? Check out their new carryout and delivery deals. An 8-piece chicken box for $16 or a large pizza with 16 boneless wings for just $25. Call today or order any of these offers online at pizzaranch.com. Pizza Ranch just off Highway 30 in Carroll.
Whoa, that's good.
Pizza Ranch Coaching Show rolling on this Saturday morning. Jeff Blankman talking right now with Eric Noggle, of course, the boys wrestling coach with the Carroll Tigers down here at the state tournament. Tigers sending 5 this year and have done well. Caden Clucky, Carson Tedrow, Kieran and Quentin Polking, and also Gavin Holt. Coach, how did you feel like things have gone so far?
It's pretty good, you know, when you get two medalists that are going to be fighting for tomorrow. I mean, it's always a good thing. Carson had kind of a tough round. Little does everybody know that on Tuesday he was sick. So he battled that and had no energy, but gave a hell of a fight at the end and gave a heck of a match and wrestled that. And Caden being a sophomore had some nice wins in there. And anytime you can get wins and not go 0-4, it's always a good day. So, or a good tournament. So I'm proud of those kids.
What did he do well? What did Caden do well down here?
Caden just kind of, he was very coachable. Just wrestled through, knew the positions, and kind of just absorbed everything that we were telling him. Very coachable in those situations, and probably shocked himself a few times just in the things that he's capable of doing. So,
just a sophomore, what do you hope he learns from coming down here, the successes that he did have down here? Even maybe in a loss, you find some things you can build on for the future.
Yeah, he's got to find a way to attack. He's got to get to feet. Yep. I mean, you're down the state tournament, you got to find ways to score. Can't always be the guy on top and turning people and doing those things. And we know if you get Caden further down the line, like I said, we always knew that as long as we get through the first period, if you get him to the third period, you're going to have to work really, really hard to beat him. And so that's a good trait that he has. But he's got to find ways to score and be more offensive and be more physical. But like I said, he's only a sophomore, wrestling 175. That's tough.
Will he go up in weight class in the future, or do you kind of expect him to stay around this? I know you're not going to be coaching, but do you think he'll stay, or is he still growing?
No, he's still growing. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if he's a heavyweight by the time he's a senior. I'm sure his mom and dad will be happy about that one. But
the food bill won't be small, right?
Yeah, as long as he starts eating good food instead of junk. But other than that, yeah, he'll be a big kid.
Okay, let's talk the two Polkings. Yep. Kieran first. Had a good run down here, ran into a highly ranked kid there in the round that would have gotten him onto the medal stand. But I thought he wrestled pretty well. He had one match, I can't remember, it was yesterday, kind of was behind, and then all of a sudden he's done that a few times this year, stormed back and got the win. So what did you see from him?
I saw a lot of growth in him being down here, you know. Got the monkey off the back a little bit and get down here. Missed it last year, came and kind of absorbed it and really enjoyed the moment. That's what I saw out of Kieran. He was always in it, coachable. He's been coachable forever. He's just... he believed in himself and believed in his offense, and we believed in him, and he just kind of took it from there and went. And Kieran's got the heart of gold, and it shows all the time. So proud of the kid. He wrestled really, really hard. Came up short, had a huge win against the Atlanta kid, which was awesome. Yep. So that's a good match, you know. Showed his strength, what he can do there. But he had a great high school career and a great senior year. Can't be disappointed with him at all.
What, Matt, was it the Atlantic win that was his best match, you think, down here?
Probably, yeah, just physical and took advantage of things. And we wrestled him last time, and we beat him in sudden victory with a takedown in the Roland Dyer tournament. So he went out and handily took it to him, and that was probably his most, I would say, physical and offensive performance, that just dominant performance that he was in. So he did a great job.
Gavin Holt, let's jump to him before we get to Quentin. I love watching that kid wrestle. He is just kind of a tank out there. He's an animal. He just stays aggressive all of the time.
People call him the 40-year-old truck driver. So you see him, he's got a beard and everything. But a lot of coaches came up to me, and he was the dark horse. They're like, your kid's a dark horse. He can do that. So Gavin's done a great job. And realistically, this is like his real full year, not even full year, because he didn't even wrestle a full year. Had a broken wrist and come back and... We were talking, he's like, I wasn't even supposed to wrestle this year. So, you know, he took advantage of every opportunity, very coachable, very learning, and he's the heart and soul of our team. He's the heartbeat. He gets everybody together, very, very serious when he has to be, but very kind of funny when he has to just kind of lighten the mood up a little bit. Gavin's just a great kid and very, very proud of what he did too. So, and for him to medal here, first time down, I mean, he's batting 1,000.
Right. You mentioned kind of his story a little bit, the injured wrist, but a lot of people didn't realize, like he didn't even realize about the injured shoulder that happened during the football season. And for him to finish that and then still paddle, probably still not completely comfortable shoulder that he's out there wrestling with.
Yeah, I mean, he wore a brace for the shoulder, but that's his labrum. He's been battling. But he had a broken collarbone during the football season, which a lot of people don't understand that he had that like the third game of the season or something like that. So it shows you how tough that kid is.
Yeah, and still the district offensive player of the year.
MVP. He's just a great kid. He deserves everything he's getting. I'm so proud of him.
The best match for him. I always got to ask that question down here because he had quite a few good ones.
Yeah, probably
hard to tell him apart sometimes.
Yeah,
right?
really hard to tell him. But it probably had to be the one to advance to medal. I mean, this afternoon was amazing. I mean, we were excited. Everybody was excited. He took it full advantage, and that was probably his best match, dominant match, and he just took it. And he gets somebody on his back, he's going to pin him. So
where's his aggression come from, do you think? Because you said he's such a nice guy off of the mats, but on the football field and on the wrestling mats, he understands how to flip that switch.
Yeah. I'm going to give credit to Brian, his dad. His dad's going to love it. If you've ever met Gavin's dad, Gavin's dad's pretty straightforward and tattoos and a real tough guy, but heart of a man, heart of a gold, and then just he gets it from his parents and his family and all those things. That's what you get. You get those traits from your family, being in tough times and good times and just grounded. His parents have done a great job. His mom's done a great job. His dad's done a great job. Step-parents have done a great job. They've done a great job. All these parents have done great jobs with these kids. I can't complain.
Quentin Polking had a chance, got into the semis.
Yep.
You run into the number one kid out of Glenwood. Ends up falling in that on Friday night. But he was about as dominant as you could get through his first few matches till that semifinal round match.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting because nobody knew who he was. I mean, people knew who he was, but all of a sudden he started winning, and then all of a sudden the cameras started following him around, and, you know, so that was good for him. But, yeah, he dominant matches and just ran into a bus. All that Kohler kid's a stud. He's been wrestling 215 since his freshman year, so a guy that's doing that, and he's just physical, and not too many people that can physically wrestle Quentin the way that kid did, and he did. He's deserving. He's the number one kid in the state. So,
where did Quentin take the step forward this year? Because he's been good.
Yeah.
But this year, it just seemed like a different Quentin Polking
on the
mat. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know when he took it. I really think it has to do with football. Again, defensive player of the year.
Yep.
Conference, and he was a middle linebacker and took it, and him and Gavin and Kieran and those guys, they just come together, and I think it just came from that football, and he just kind of locked in, and I don't know what the switch was. He just went out, and before we knew it, he had 13 pins in a row and all those, and he just goes about his work quietly. I mean, he's just that stoic kid that's just going to go to work, and I don't know what changed on him and those things, but he had a great year, so.
What's the advice you're going to give him and Gavin going into their matches today? He has to wrestle to see if he can wrestle for third. Mm-hmm. Quentin does. Gavin's going to be wrestling as well. So what's the advice you're going to give to those guys?
Let it fly, baby. It's the last one. I mean, there's nothing else after this. So, I mean, how do you want to be remembered to go out and let it fly? Let everybody see what you're capable of doing, and let's score some points and enjoy the moment.
Who chooses the food afterwards between these guys?
Nah, I don't know. Probably all of them. Who knows? Right now, we got a bet with Carson to see how much he's weighing on the scales. I think he's burned through his food allowance money already. So I think we were just talking about before, J-Mo was talking to us. Or no, Kane was. No, I can't remember. One of them was talking, and they said that he went up to get Dippin' Dots, and the guy goes, "You've been here 3 times today." So it's bad when the Dippin' Dots guy knows who you are. So we'll see what happens.
Well, Coach, as always, it's a lot of fun talking to you. We'll catch up with you again next week to recap the season with the whole team.
Yep.
And appreciate all the time, as always. Enjoy today with this group of seniors.
I will. I appreciate it. And as always, go Tigers.
Head Coach Eric Noggle again with the Carroll Tigers boys wrestling team, back with more here on the Peach Ranch Coaches Show.
Long day? Skip the stress of cooking. Try a Quick Star take-home meal. Choose from home-style favorites like chicken fettuccine alfredo, spaghetti and meatballs, or creamy mac and cheese. Or dig into comfort classics like beef stroganoff casserole and home-style meatloaf. Avoid the same old question, what's for dinner? Quick Star's take-home meals taste like home without the hassle. Freshly made, ready to heat, and packed with flavor. Perfect for busy nights. Dinner solved. Happiness served. Only at Quick Star.
We're back here on the Peach Ranch Coaches Show talking some Kemper boys wrestling, of course, with head coach Shane Vaughn, who is joining us here. Sent a couple of guys down to state. Coach, appreciate you joining us here. Let's talk both the McGuire, Hoyt, and Beckett Wernemont. What did you see from them Thursday at the state meet?
Yeah, I mean, they definitely left it all out there. You know, it was tough, and their end results weren't what they were hoping for, but you can't question effort or heart in any of those 4 matches. And so, really, at the end of the day, that's what you're happy to see, just the good competitiveness and the right attitude about it.
Let's start with Beckett, just a freshman. He's got 3 more years to work to get back down here. What do you think he took away? This is a learning thing for a freshman. It's a different atmosphere.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he was frustrated not getting a win down here, frustrated not making it further, but you know, as we sat through the later rounds, we're watching guys wrestling. He's like, I know I can be here next year. I know I can beat guys like that. Like, so he's handling the losses the right way. He's excited to get back on the mat and get training again. So I'm looking forward to see how much growth he can make between now and next November.
What did he do well on the mats down at the state meet, did you think?
I mean, he had a district rematch round one, and those are always tough. It was a match that didn't go real well at all at districts. And we, you know, end result ended up being the same, got pinned in both, but he wrestled a lot better, a lot smarter tactically down here. You could tell he learned. You know, it was a growing experience for him, and when you can take things and make adjustments match to match, it shows you're heading the right direction.
Which match did you think was better for him? Was it the match not against Gray from Sergeant Bluff, who he had to wrestle up at districts?
I mean, both of them, he did little things well. Match against Clarion kid, that kid's tough. He's big. He's strong. He was coming after him. We almost got to a couple of our own attacks, and that had, you know, little promising moments, but kid's good, man. He just keeps coming and kind of wore him down.
Yeah. McGuire Hoyt also down here also goes 0-2, but what did you see from him?
You know, I mean, for the first of all, like, it was great for him to get here. He came up short the past 2 years, kind of dealt with some adversity at the end of the year last year that kind of, you know, slowed us down a little bit, didn't quite get where we wanted to be last year. And so this year getting here was a huge step forward. And then he was confident. You know, he came out and it didn't go his way, but he's like, I know I can wrestle with these guys. I know I can be here. He was, you know, again, he was aggressive. He was shooting. You know, the mistakes he would make were, they were aggressive mistakes. It wasn't like he was being tentative or holding anything back. So regardless of how it ends, if you leave it all out there and have the aggressive mentality, then you can go to bed easy at night.
What was the difference for him this year to get down here? Like you said, last year faced some adversity late, and the last 2 years didn't quite make it now, but this year was able to.
Yeah, I think just a little more confidence. You know, he kind of filled into more of a leadership role for the team, and I think that kind of in a way translated to his own success. A little more confidence when he's out there, a little more confidence showing up and doing what he needed to for the team, and then that kind of helped him, you know, day by day keep getting better as well.
What good things did you see out of him on the mats Thursday?
You know, like I said before, he was shooting. Right. He was aggressive. He was taking shots. And, you know, a couple shots he might like to have back. But at the end of the day, right, I'd rather have a kid go out shooting than go out holding back and being tentative. So if you go out firing your attacks and wrestling hard, it is what it is at the end of the day.
Coach, let's look at the season as a whole for you guys. I know a couple of times during the season you kind of mentioned maybe a tournament didn't go the way you guys wanted to, but you had some young guys, a lot of guys learning. What were some of the shining moments, do you think, for this team throughout the season?
Yeah, you know, it was tough duel-wise, especially this year, you know, giving up that many forfeits and having a few weights where we kind of struggled at times off and on throughout the year. It felt like we were never able to put together, you know, the dual lineup we had hoped. But the focus became, you know, better every time out. And I feel like we achieved that, where we only brought seven guys to districts, but five get on the podium. You know, getting two down here, five on the podium out of seven competing is a step in the right direction. It's something to build off of with the majority of the team coming back next year.
Where did this team grow as the season went on to have that much success at the state qualifying meet?
Got tougher. You know, early in the year, we had a lot of matches where we'd be in, we'd be doing things right, and just kind of, you know, end up on our back and not really sure where things went wrong. But as the year went on, we got to, you know, fight a little harder through those and start wrestling just more aggressive, tougher, a little more confident, and you could see it in the results.
I know you would never give it away because you're on the football coaching staff, but winning that championship, did that impact the beginning of the season with so many guys that were crossing over, maybe not getting a lot of wrestling time, you know, early because you guys may be missing some practice time with how far the football team went?
I mean, there's goods and bads to it. You know, anytime you have a team that can do that, it's going to do a lot for the kids that are on that team, for their confidence, you know, their own mentality. They've seen what it takes to be successful. They can take those, you know, same traits and attributes and cross them over to wrestling as well. You know, obviously you kind of selfishly as a wrestling guy want to see a little more time for open mat, a little more time for preseason training, but the experience of going into a big environment and competing in a tough game and winning that is something that's going to benefit these kids as well. So, you know, every school in the state has kids doing different activities in the fall before it, and, you know, some have success, some don't, but at the end of the day, you're all in the same spot in November.
Who grew the most for you that you think this year as a wrestler?
We had a lot of guys step up. You know, Peyton Starr was one that he as a freshman, played basketball and wrestled this year, so we had him about half the time, but he got a lot better from week one till the end of the year, so I'm excited to see his trajectory, where he can keep going. You know, Beckett got a lot better from that first tournament at Humboldt. There was a little bit of, you know, deer in the headlights, first high school tournament, I don't know if I belong here, and then he ends the season at Wells Fargo or Casey Center, whatever you're going to call it now. But so he came a long ways. Like I said, McGuire, just filling in that leadership role, being a little more vocal, a little more, you know, mature, kind of taking control of the team himself. So just a lot of guys like that were stepping up.
What duel do you look back at, or what weekend tournament do you look back at that was maybe the best, or the one that maybe 20 years from now when you reflect on this season that you're going to remember?
You know, I feel like we had a lot of tournaments that coming away, it's, you know, a couple of good things, a couple of bad things. So they're all kind of run together after a while.
Right.
I know, you know, I-35 tournament didn't go quite the way we wanted, but it felt like leaving that one, the conversations around the support were a lot more positive between the guys. A little more, for whatever reason, the way that tournament went, we had a little more motivation coming out of it, that kind of carried us into the end of the year.
Well, Coach, as always, we appreciate all the time throughout the entire season. I'm glad there's track wrestling, so I never have to text you guys for results or anything and bother you for that after your duels and your weekend tournaments. But I appreciate everything you do for us at Carroll Broadcasting. Enjoy the off season.
Yeah, thank you very much.
You bet. Head Coach Shane Vaughn again with the Kemper Boys Wrestling Team, back with more on the Beach Ranch Coaches Show here on KCIM.
This is Deb Dieter with the St. Anthony Chronic Care Center. Today we are talking with one of our participants of the group Lifestyle Change Program.
Personally, I started a journey of trying to just adjust my own, and then I went, I'm not doing as well as I want, so I started taking this class. So I highly recommend it for the fact that it keeps you honest, and then it also has you help with other people, and they help you, and I think that's a lot. Kara and the dietitian do a fantastic job of just presenting information that you can take away, what you can use, what's realistic for us, because I think it's multifaceted that you can pick out something that would really help you improve.
We're inviting you to join us at our discovery session where you get to ask the questions. This is your chance to take back your life. Learn more about the Lifestyle Change Program where you learn how to lose weight and improve your health. It's Monday, February 23rd at noon or at 4 p.m. at the St. Anthony Regional Hospital Education Center. To learn more and to register for this discovery session, contact the St. Anthony Chronic Care Center. Always look to the cross, always St. Anthony.
Peach Ranch Coaches Show rolling on this Saturday morning as Deb Dander, the head coach for the Carroll Boys swim team, is joining us. The Tigers, of course, last Saturday finished 11th as a team, break six school records on Saturday in six events, and they bring home a state champion as well as Tegan Renzi wins the 200 freestyle. Coach, congratulations. Fantastic season, fantastic time down at the state tournament. That had to be a blast, so thanks for joining us today.
Yes, thank you for having me.
You knew you had a pretty special group. Did you anticipate 6 of 6 records last weekend?
knowing Legan and Tegan, yep, they make sure they go out with a bang. So, yeah, it looked pretty promising for them. I didn't know how low those records would go, but I kind of figured they would.
Did they shatter them pretty good?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, I'd say so.
So they might be on the board for a little while is what you're saying.
Yeah, I think we're going to look at their names for a few years anyway. Yeah, I think so.
Let's start with Tegan. He wins the 200 freestyle. We chatted last week before the final about what happened to him in the prelims. I did an interview with him on Sunday night that I posted out there, and then we replayed it Tuesday morning on the Rewind program. But what a day for him. Wins the championship in the 200 free. I had to ask him, how do you get yourself mentally refocused to come back and swim the 100 free later in the day where he finished up in third? And he said that he just kind of had to flush it and go get himself cooled down and do what he needed to do to get ready. So pretty focused young man.
Oh, for sure. He is definitely a focused young man. Yeah, that was quite the ordeal. Once they said no DQ, I just kind of grabbed him by the back and started pushing him towards the cool down pool. And it's like, Just go. You need to go. It's like, yeah, we needed to get that out of his head right away.
Absolutely. How did he swim on Saturday?
Yeah, he did fantastic. He was mentally prepared, ready to do this. He went in knowing that he wanted that championship and he was going to do whatever it took to get it.
Yeah. Did you like his plan, and or was it your plan of getting out as hard as he could and then trying to hold on? He said that that's what he did. He said the Van Zee kid was catching him, but he had enough to be able to hold him off.
Oh, yeah. No, that's all on Tegan. That was his plan. That's how he wanted to swim it. That is exactly what he did, and yeah, it worked. He went out hard, and he had enough to hang on to the very end.
Was it nerve-wracking seeing the Van Zee kid gaining on him there the last 50 meters? Because he said he caught him kind of out of the corner of his eye coming and knew that he couldn't take a breath for a while to be able to hold him off.
Right? Yes. Because Tegan went out. He went out very solid, very strong. He definitely had a lead on everybody. And, yeah, we get to that last 50, and it's just like, he was catching them. And it's like, oh, my, I mean, we're just yelling and screaming as hard as we can. Like, you know, that's really going to help.
But right. Makes you feel better,
but
right?
You do it because You get caught up in the moment. Yep. And, yeah, I mean, it really was, we had to look at the board from where we were standing. We had to look at the board to see who got it. It was close.
Yeah. He said that he just happened to have his head that way, and he saw his hand touch before Van Zee, so he knew he had it, but he had to check the board. How did he bounce back in the 100 free? Did he swim as well as you thought he was possibly capable of after winning that 200 free?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he came back very strong in that 100 free. Did he have enough to take the championship? No. Tegan's more kind of a mid-distance swimmer. I mean, right. Not that he can't sprint, because he can definitely sprint, but he come back very strong. I mean, you know, he swam a 43, and that's pretty impressive. He just isn't a sprinter per se, so
right.
It was very good swim for him.
Legan finishes fourth in the 200 IM, and then takes fifth in the 100 breaststroke, but as we mentioned early in the interview, broke school records in both events. You had mentioned last Saturday morning when we were talking here before the event that he had some things that he needed to adjust from, you know, Friday into Saturday. I'm guessing that he got those adjustments made?
Oh, definitely, yeah. We tweaked the backstroke a little bit, his turnover rate. He took it a little bit too easy on Saturday, so we figured out how to make that a little bit quicker. His stroke count coming into the wall on his 100 breaststroke was just a little bit off. So, we got that one figured out, how to adjust his stroke count, and it really helped out a lot.
Which did you feel was his better race on Saturday, the IM or the breast?
Truly, I thought he did an amazing job in both, but I guess I would pick his IM was just really phenomenal. They're both very good events for him.
They both had to get ready then to join Weston Toft and Landon Cadwell for the 200 freestyle relay and the 400 freestyle relay. You go 12th in the 200 and 10th in the 400. How did those races play out, and again, school records in both of them?
So there's a lot of teams there that tapered for state. We tapered for district just to get to state. So knowing that these other teams were just now tapered was going to be quite the challenge. The boys did phenomenal. They had great times, but up against these other teams that were just now tapering, it didn't look as phenomenal. But, I mean, they swam great. They swam their hearts out. Every single one of them swam their personal best time. So I really can't complain about that. They did a great job. They finally took that old record down. We've all been getting tired of looking at it. So it was good to see that come down. But, yeah, they all swam just fantastic.
Are you going to have some kind of an unveiling ceremony when you get all of the new records put up there and have a little party and let everybody watch them as the curtain falls?
Well, in the past, we've let the new record holders actually put their records up.
Nice.
So, yeah, I'm hoping that they all come together and we can put those records up all together.
So minus the state, because I know that's got to be the highlight of the whole year. You don't break six records in six events without that being the highlight. So minus what happened at state, what are the highlights for you overall for this season?
Yeah, these boys come together very well. They're a very cohesive group of boys. Just every time somebody has a breakthrough on their event, it makes my day. I love seeing that, that they're getting stronger, they're getting faster. You can see the pride in their face, how happy they are that they did that. We've had several kids do that throughout the season. And they might not be the state qualifiers, but it's still a lot for them. It's still a great achievement for them, and they're just going to keep getting better. Their confidence is being built up, and it's a lot of fun to watch those moments.
Coach, we know the two seniors along with Weston, it's a third one that made it down to state this year. You also had Jordan Wilson, Brody Skareen, if I said that correctly. Hopefully I said that one correctly.
Skareen.
So, yep. So five seniors in this group. What did this group mean to you?
Yeah, they've been a lot of fun. We haven't had all of them for 4 years, a couple of them only for 3 years. So it would have been nice to have them all 4 years, but it doesn't always work out that way. But, you know, they're a great group of boys. They've been together, you know, even swimming as younger kids. They've been swimming with each other, against each other, whatever. So they've known each other for a lot of years. You know, it's just great to see them all come together. Yeah, you know, and I've enjoyed having them on my team and getting to work with each and every one of them. So, you know, it's going to kind of be a bittersweet kind of ending to our season. But, you know, they'll move on and do what they're going to do next. And I will bring in a new group of freshmen and we'll just keep things moving.
Well, last thing I'll talk to you about this year, Coach, and again, appreciate everything. Didn't want to forget Tegan and Legan, both named for academic All-State in swimming as well, which is quite an honor.
Oh, absolutely. It's an honor. You know, that just came out yesterday, so it was just great to see that. And also, you should know that Tegan Renzi is All-American in his swimming, 200 free, 50 free, 100 free. So, yeah, that's pretty awesome. And Legan is consideration for All-American in his 100 breaststroke. So, you know, we'll find out about all of that come July when they post all the All-Americans. So it's the top 100 swimmers in the nation.
Wow.
For high school kids. So it's pretty impressive to have a couple of them on our team. And, you know, I've really enjoyed working with that.
Absolutely, Coach. Well, again, thank you. Congratulations on everything this season. What an amazing run you and the boys had this year. And this is going to be, I think, a season 30 years from now you'll still look back on and probably smile.
Oh, for sure I will. Yep, for sure.
You bet. Head coach again, Deb Danner, joining us here on the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show. We're back right after this.
When life gets busy and schedules start shifting, figuring out meals can get a little tricky. Pizza Ranch is here to make it easy. Stop in for their buffet and enjoy all your Pizza Ranch favorites. Prefer to stay in? Check out their new carryout and delivery deals. An 8-piece chicken box for $16 or a large pizza with 16 boneless wings for just $25. Call today or order any of these offers online at pizzaranch.com. Pizza Ranch, just off Highway 30 in Carroll.
Whoa, that's good.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show here at Katie Cook, the Carroll Girls Basketball Coach, joining us here. Coach, as always, we appreciate your time every Saturday.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So you guys won your opening round matchup against Humboldt there, 53-38. Talk to me about that game at home. Kind of what was the atmosphere like in the postseason?
You know, that was a memorable game for us. Our defensive game plan worked really well. We were focused on, you know, they have one really star player, so we were keyed in on her. The girls did a good job navigating that. You know, we ended up beating them by 15 or so, I think, 53-38. And, you know, it's just nice to get that final win on our home court.
With that game as well there, what did you feel like the girls did really well?
I thought we moved the ball better than we had been recently. And we have more people attacking and shooting and just being more aggressive on the offensive end.
With that one, kind of a big win there, what were you hoping to bring from that game to the second game of the postseason?
You know, just, you know, one game at a time, really. We wanted to keep that offensive spark, you know, 53 points for us, that's pretty good. And we ended up going into Forest City and we scored 43. Unfortunately, they're really hard to stop. They have a lot of weapons. Forest City is a really well-rounded team. And they put up 70. I mean, I don't know that they missed a three-point shot in the second half. Really, really good basketball team.
Talk to me about that game as well there. What were you expecting from Forest City coming out of that game?
Well, we knew they were well-rounded. You can tell that by looking at their stats. They've got speed in their guard play, in their backcourt, and they've got good size in the post. You know, several different defenses they could possibly throw at you. I mean, it was tough to to come up with a game plan, just because they have so many variables. They do so many various different things. So we weren't really sure what to expect going in. So we kind of just tried to focus on ourselves and being flexible and adapting as the game went on.
Offensively, Chloe putting up 21 there. You had a couple of chances with some man ones and some stuff like that, but what was opening up on the offensive end for her to get 21?
You know, I think she was just aggressive and willing to go to the hole strong and finish. And, you know, I honestly, all year we were trying to get more people to do that, even her. I think that's hard for girls to guard without fouling. If someone's driving in there, in the girls' high school basketball game, how many times those girls that drive hard, play hard, go to the hole and take it up strong, on balance, a lot of times they're going to the free throw line. And if on top of that you can finish, even better. So I think it's a strong skill for a girls' basketball player to have.
With this one as well here, talk to me about the seniors that you had on this team with the season coming to an end.
You know, it's always sad to see that group go, but it's the whole point. You know, they're growing up, they're ready to enter the adult world and take the next step in their life. So it's sad to see them go, but also I'm just really proud of all four of them. We've got Alika, Jersey Spore, Sadie Kelly, and Aubrey Schmidt-Hubbard. Really nice group of girls, good leaders for us this year. I think everybody, you know, when the game gets over and you've got the underclassmen crying because they're going to miss everybody, you know those seniors have done a good job with a team culture.
You talked about, you know, the seniors and the underclassmen there. What are you hoping the underclassmen take away from the seniors?
Well, probably first and foremost, just how to be a good leader. Being a good leader isn't always about being rude and bossing everybody around. That's actually worse for a lot of girls' teams. It's just about leading by example, doing the right thing, supporting each other, and trying your best. And whether that's, you know, leading vocally with those ideas in mind or by example every day, I think those four did a really good job.
You know, obviously people are going to look towards Chloe as kind of next year taking that step as well, but who are you hoping that takes some big steps for you next year?
Well, we've got Chloe returning, Analia Ayala, and Bella Lou. So we've got a strong core coming back next year. And then with Willow Feld kind of being our, you know, sixth, seventh person off the bench this year. She's super athletic, strong. She's got that competitive mindset. Nothing really rattles her much. She's fast and physical. So, yeah, looking forward to seeing her on the court more and improving. Riley Sletka is another freshman that got some varsity time. She's a really good shooter. You know, we'll be young besides those three returning starters. But they bring a lot of energy and they're willing to work really hard. They're really good listeners. A lot of them, you don't have to tell them anything twice, tell them once and they pick it up. So, really, really good group of sophomores coming back. And then, we've got Audrey Hudrick as a junior next year too.
Any eighth graders that may come up and make an impact for you?
You know, I don't want to get ahead of myself. We got a good group of eighth graders too. The first thing they need to do is show up during the summer and kind of show us what they got and what they're willing to do.
What does the off season look like for you guys as well?
Well, I haven't dug into it much, but we've just got to get in the gym and continue to improve our skills. It'd be nice to shoot better from the three-point line, so I could see that being a big focal point. And then, you know, probably implementing things that we would want to be doing next season as far as any kind of press defense or whatever defense or offense we want to go with. We'd probably start working on that this summer.
Well, I tell you what, Katie, thank you for everything this season here. We wish you guys the best luck going through the off season.
Thanks, Mason.
That was head coach Katie Cook, as we are going to step away from our Pizza Ranch Coaches Show.
It's 3 days of savings now through Sunday at your Carroll Hy-Vee. 24-pack Hy-Vee Purified Water, only $1.99. Hy-Vee Choice Reserve Chuck Roast, only $6.98 a pound. And Hy-Vee Chili Beans, just 48 cents. Shop savings all weekend at your Carroll Hy-Vee.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Pizza Ranch Coaches Show here. Justin Yatmar of the Kemper Knights Girls Basketball Program joining us here this Saturday morning. Coach, as always, we appreciate your time.
Yeah, good to catch up with you, Mace.
For you guys, you started the postseason over this last week, beating Red Oak and then beating Van Meter here. Let's go back to that Red Oak game, 66-20. And when I did that game earlier, I thought that, again, 34-0 to open up the game. What did you guys do well to open up that game?
Yeah, for us, it was we just brought intensity and pressure on the defensive end and really just made everything really hard for them. We were finishing, you know, in transition. We were finishing off of those turnovers. We hit some shots early. So it was kind of a perfect storm for us, especially early on in the game. The girls just, they were on a mission, and you know, they executed the game plan. And, you know, it just kind of snowballed into, you know, just the confidence just kept growing and growing and growing. So it was a good night. Felt like forever ago, but it's a great way to kick off the postseason.
With the second round matchup, 53-45 over Van Meter. You guys were tied going into the fourth quarter there, but what were the girls able to do to pull away that victory?
I talked about it with Casey after the game. It was, you know, really I thought our senior leadership took over. And, you know, the calmness, you know, it was a game of runs. We would go up 8-10, they would make a run right back. And that happened a couple times. But, you know, for us, that final one is we just kept executing. We kept, you know, just pushing the floor. You know, they wanted to pressure us a little bit more in that fourth quarter. We handled it relatively well, especially early in the fourth quarter. And, you know, we had a couple runouts. You know, Elsa had a couple runouts. Morgan Mashing had a steal and a layup. They just kind of made the game easy on themselves. And it really just was valuing the basketball, playing some defense, and looking for those opportunities to run when they presented themselves.
You guys had 9 threes in that game, so were able to shoot the ball well from the field there. Were you glad to see that as a coach that, you know, the girls were out there shooting pretty well?
Yeah. And we've just been talking about that is we're at that point in the year where, you know, you can't play scared. You can't play unconfident. It's, you know, we've put these shots up. We've worked for this. We've, you know, put themselves in those positions to, you know, I'm confident in them shooting the basketball. And, you know, that they kind of started in the zone, which allowed us to shoot a lot of threes, some really good ones, some that, you know, we could have probably made an extra pass, but at the end of the day, it's, you know, if they're stepping into one and they're confident, you know, that's who we are and what we want to do. So you just kind of let them run with it. And, you know, we didn't shoot a great percentage, but a good enough percentage to get the win that night.
You guys now face Des Moines Christian over at their place, a 21-3 Des Moines Christian team here. What do you know about them off film?
Yeah, they're really good. They want to pressure you. They want to play really fast. You know, they don't necessarily want to settle into a half court type of game. So, you know, they don't necessarily have, you know, a huge post presence, but they have a lot of really good athletes that they put out there with some depth. So, you know, we're going to have to be really good and really confident and handle their pressure. But you know, I just feel confident in our girls. You know, we're going to be prepared and ready for that test.
With that game as well there, what are you guys going to need to execute on to be able to pick up a win?
For us, I think it's just value the basketball. It's just don't let them, you know, speed us up too fast. We want to play fast too. You know, we feel like we have the athletes to play with anyone. So, you know, it's not necessarily we just want to sit in the half court and play that style game. We just want to be able to handle the pressure and make really good decisions once we break that. be aggressive, look for our shots. But, you know, we don't need to rush or force anything. And that's kind of it's a fine line at times. But that's going to kind of be our keys, is just value the ball, make great decisions, come to every pass, you know, just kind of the basics, if you will. And that's going to put us in a good position.
With this game as well and kind of the stakes that it holds, are you hoping that the girls kind of just take this as a challenge and say, you know what, this is a big challenge, let's go and try and beat them?
Yeah, I've talked about all year. This group is, they're special. You know, we have great senior leadership. We have great juniors. You know, the younger girls are fantastic in practice, and they're just fun to be around. You know, our two assistant coaches, Coach Daniel and Coach Snyder, have been awesome. You know, they're bought in. They watch film and provide some feedback on, you know, the scout and all those things. So it's just a cohesive, you know, locked in group. You know, our girls, they're just ready for it. You know, they've kind of circled this on the calendar of, this was one of our goals to get to this game. And, you know, kind of see where it goes. It's kind of an any night, any team type of situation, and we feel like we can be that any team. We just have that confidence.
With it being at their school, do you feel like that may play a little bit of factor into what the atmosphere may look like?
Yeah, obviously we'd love to be at home. Wednesday night we had great fan support, great student support. You know, our side was really, really full, and the girls, you know, fed off of that energy, which was a ton of fun. Those girls deserve it. You know, we haven't had a ton of success, you know, over the last few years, but, you know, we've had some success this year. People are seeing it. We're fun to watch, if anything. So yeah, we would love to be at home, but at the end of the day, it's, you know, we're on the road. You know, you just kind of had to have that, you know, mentality of, let's go in there and upset the apple cart, and, you know, kind of walk away, you know, happy, if you will. And I know Kemper fans always travel well, so we're going to have a strong contingent as well.
Well, I tell you what, good luck later tonight with the Des Moines Christian matchup. We'll keep an eye on that one. I think Nick Brinks will be there to broadcast it, but thank you for joining us here today.
I appreciate it, Mason. Thank you.
That was head coach Justin Yatmar. We got Coach Randy Beeson of the Carroll Boys coming up next.
A highlight home for Mid-Al Real Estate Team, 2017 Northwest Street. Well-maintained home on a large lot with three bedrooms and two bath areas. Relax on the covered deck or patio. Large heated two-car garage. Inside the home has been beautifully updated with new flooring throughout the main level. Stove, dishwasher, washer and dryer all included. All of this at 2017 Northwest Street with a list price of $239,900. This is Brandon Snyder with another quality offering from Mid-Al Real Estate Team. Take your tour at midiowateam.com.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Pizza Ranch Coaches Show. Here joining me, the head of boys basketball coach up at Carroll High, Randy Beeson. Coach, as always, it's a pleasure talking to you every Saturday morning.
Yeah, same to you, Mason.
So you guys finish out the season beating Harlan there, and probably a pretty special win for you there?
Yeah, anytime you can beat Harlan, it's a good one. You know, they have a new coach. With Dean Mosier and Coach Osborne being down there. So, you know, they're doing a few different things, and makes it tough to know exactly what you're going to get. You know, with Coach Osborne, some of the sets that they're running, obviously, and we've adopted some of those things. So, yeah, it's always good to beat those guys. And it wasn't pretty by any means, up 7 after the first quarter, and we did a really good job defensively, holding them to 15 points at halftime. We weren't very good offensively, with only scoring 25 points ourselves, but I think we were 1-for-12 from the three-point line in the first half, so we just kept saying, hey, we'll get some shots to fall, just make sure you're down and ready, and have some confidence. And third quarter wasn't that much better. I mean, they ended up cutting it to 5 with about 2 minutes to go in the third quarter, and then Trey hit a 3 at the buzzer to make it 10, and then we played some pretty good basketball in the fourth quarter. We held them to 8 points, and we scored 24 points ourselves. We finally made some threes. I think we made 5 in that quarter alone. So wasn't pretty, but we got the job done, and, yeah, it was a good win to end the regular season.
You kind of said what I was going to ask you there. To end the regular season, obviously you guys had that Gilbert game last week, but then you bounce back and are able to pick up the win against Harlan there. How important is it as a coach and for the morale of the team to head into the postseason with a win?
Yeah, it was huge. You know, the game against Gilbert was definitely a tough one for us. You know, we didn't play well for some long stretches of that game. I got down 15 or 13 points at one point in the third quarter. But give our guys credit, we battled back. We ended up being up 5 with 5 minutes to go, up 4 with 2 minutes to go. And our guys have shown all year that we're pretty good towards the end of the game to find ways to win games. So we kind of let that one slip, up 4 with 2 minutes to go, and they go on a 7-0 run to end the game, and we end up losing 75-72. So that was a tough one to take, knowing that it was a big game for us and what was on the line. And but give Gilbert credit. They made a lot of shots, and a couple guys that averaging 4 or 5 points a game. One scored 16, the other one scored 15. So either bad defense on our part or a good game by those guys, probably a little bit of both. But it was a good, you know, I didn't know what was going to happen against Harlan. Are we going to show up? Are we going to be rattled from the game before? Are we going to be a little upset, a little mad, and come out and do some things really well, or what are we going to see? So we watched a lot of film after the Gilbert game as far as trying to get better defensively and figure out why we gave up 75 points. So the fact that we came out and held them to 15 and held them to 40 points for the game was a good sign that our guys were not happy about the game before. And you always want to play your best basketball at the end of the season. And, you know, we had won a few games in a row going into that Gilbert game besides that Ballard loss. So, you know, I don't think losing that game is a bad thing. Once again, when you win close games or you win games and you don't play that well, some things get overlooked a little bit. But when you lose, there's a little bit more reflection that needs to be done. And our guys did that watching film, and they responded well against Harlan.
You guys stay within that top 8, which means you are allowed to host all the way through. If you guys get all the way through to the final round there, you open up with Perry now. And as a coach, I mean, this is a team that you've seen before with them being in the Raccoon River. Do you know if they've changed a bunch, or is it still kind of the same Perry team that you guys used to see all the time?
You know, I think they're better than what they've been in the past. Their record doesn't show it. They're not very tall. They got some short guards. So obviously, hopefully we can take advantage of that. We've done a pretty good job of rebounding the basketball, so hopefully we'll put ourselves in position to get a bunch of offensive rebounds and be able to speed them up. So, yeah, our guys have worked hard in the regular season to put themselves in a position to get that number one seed. In the past, I've never really talked about the rankings, never really talked about seeds, and, you know, it's a little different this year with a sub-state game being able to be a home game if you're in the top 8 or if you're the number one seed. So we've talked about that a little bit more, and we found a way to get that number one seed. So it's one game at a time. We'll hopefully put a game plan together against Perry on Monday, and winner of Sadell and Glenwood the following game. And we played Sadell last year come district time, and pretty familiar with Glenwood with my brother being the AD and a volunteer coach on the basketball team. So yeah, one game at a time. We'll see what happens.
You know, how important is it as well to be able to host these games? Because in the postseason, I think you know as much as anyone how rowdy some games can get.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've had some pretty exciting games at our place this year. You know, and the Kemper game was a full house and a fun atmosphere, and, you know, we got the 3rd through 6th grade Carroll Crazies that seem to make a lot of noise, and our student session's been good, and just our community and our fans and have done a good great job of showing up and cheering us on. So I think it's a big deal. Anytime you get to play at home, I think it's a big deal. It's a lot of fun for our guys. It's we tell our guys all the time on the road, you got to bring your own energy and excitement. And when you got the home crowd behind you, you don't have to create your own excitement as much. So I think it's a big deal. So yeah, we're definitely excited to be able to host all the way through. And you know, with the rules changing, where Substate used to be a neutral place, getting to host that game if we get to that point is a big deal. So we're not going to take anything for granted. Obviously, we've done us some favors by changing the rules and getting to host those games, but you still got to show up and play good basketball. You still got to do the things that you need to on the offensive end, and you still have to defend and do things. You know, when it gets to this point, everyone knows what's on the line as far as losing and being done. So you're going to get everyone's best shot. And if we think that just being the number one seed and getting the host means that we're going to win a couple games, we're not going to like the locker room after those games. So I think our guys will be prepared, and we'll enjoy getting to play at home.
What do you guys need to execute well on in the postseason that you did during the regular season?
I think defensively is really important. You know, we've played some teams where maybe we feel like we should be able to beat them just with our athleticism and with the team that we have. And in some of those games, you get to be a little undisciplined and out of position, and you try to gamble too much, and you try to go for steals, and all of a sudden you don't get those, and then it's 5-on-4, and you're giving up layups because you're a little too eager and a little out of position. So I think being disciplined on the defensive end is really, really important. You follow the game plan, you follow the scouting report, you do your job. That's what makes team defense really good. So I think that's really important. And then offensively, it's the same way. Like, you have to execute. You have to do what you're supposed to do. You have to screen a body. You have to cut with a purpose. You don't just go out there and all of a sudden freelance it and think, okay, I'm better than my guys, so I'm just going to go one-on-one and create and do my own thing. Everything's about team basketball and working together as one unit and one team, and it'll be really important come playoff time. You need your best players to step up and play well, but you also need your role players to play their role well and do their job and do some things too. So, again, we've had a lot of guys, step up. We're a pretty well-rounded team, and a lot of guys that can score points and make shots and do things. But, again, it takes a full team effort when you get to a district play, and you got to execute down the stretch. You got to make plays. You got to get stops when you need to. All those things that you work on every day in practice and talk about. And you hope that the guys understand and realize that, man, three stops in a row late in the game is really, really important. We do it in practice. Can we do it in a game? Executing a set out of a timeout is really, really important. Can you screen? Can the ball be delivered on time to the right guy? And are you going to be able to do your job? Those things are really, really important come district time. So we'll have a few good days of practice to make sure that we keep doing things the right way and practice those things so that when it comes to game time, we're confident and can do the right things and make the right play.
Well, I tell you what, Coach, it'll be a fun postseason for you guys here. We'll get to cover you guys all the way through, but thank you for joining us here on the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show.
Mason, thanks for all the coverage. Appreciate all you do.
It's 3 days of savings now through Sunday at your Carroll Hy-Vee. 24-pack Hy-Vee Purified Water, only $1.99. Frito-Lay chips, just $1.88 with the purchase of three. Plus, don't forget the Lent specials every Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Market Grill. Shop savings all weekend long at your Carroll Hy-Vee.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Mason Neal here with Sean Minahan, the Kemper Boys basketball coach. As you guys picked up a fun win last night, Coach, as always, we are pleased to have you on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So last night you guys pick up the 81-43 win over Manson Northwest Webster there. Talk to me about that game and how you felt like everything went.
All in all, pretty good. I would have liked to see us do a little bit better job defensively, I think, in the first half. I thought we did really good in spurts, but then there's a couple times we were just a little, not so much lazy, but just off on our rotations of what we were trying to trying to accomplish, and we need to do a little bit better job on the ball. I think defensively of forcing them where we wanted the ball to go. I think we kind of allowed them to get where they wanted to too consistently. The transition, we need to do a little bit better job. But all in all, I think it was pretty good. And we would like to shoot the ball better than we did, but can't complain.
I mean, for you guys right there, you struggled a little bit from the three-point line to start, but picked it up in the second half there. Were you pleased to see, though, that even when the three-point shots are not knocking down, you guys were able to still get buckets and lead in that game?
Yeah, and they make sense on different looks. We were preparing for them to play a lot of zone, and we saw a decent amount of zone looks from them. They did come out in man, and then they switched to the zone. And they kind of went back and forth between man and zone the rest of the night and give us a couple different looks between the man, the 1-2-2 and 2-3. So gives them different looks. And the number one thing I told our guys before the game is we had to play inside out and make sure we're looking to score that way. And it's a good thing we did because that was the only way we were really scoring all night.
You pick up the win there after that game. What were the talks like in the locker room?
One game down, and we got to stay focused and just take it one game at a time. We got South Harden on Tuesday. They're a really talented team. They've been playing really good basketball at the end of the year. They upset Union a week ago. So they've been playing really good basketball of late. You know, Union was ranked number 7, I believe, when they beat them. And Union, from a stylistic standpoint, is pretty comparable to us. They're, high-scoring offense, pressure defense, and so they're able to match them, and they won a high-scoring game there. So we just got to make sure we're bringing it from our standpoint of making sure we're communicating on defense, getting our rotations where they need to be, rebounding the basketball at a high percentage, and then we need to shoot the ball better than we did last night.
When you look at that South Harden team there, do you know a lot about them besides kind of what you gave us, or is it just still getting ready for them?
Still getting ready for them. Just got some preliminary scouting. They have some decent size. Their roster is a little bit confusing. They have guys that their home and away numbers don't match up, and not the old school of odd even. It's pretty random. They have one starter that wears number 2 for home games, and he's number 20 for away games, and then they have a different guy who's number 3 for home games and number 2 for away games. So it's kind of confusing. We're still trying to figure that all out, but they have two guys that are pretty decent shooters. They share the basketball pretty well, pretty balanced assist guys. Number of guys that get a good number of steals, pretty balanced on the rebounding. No real big guys from a size standpoint. They got a 6'4 kid, but a lot of 6'2, 6'3 guys. So that'll provide a challenge for us.
With that as well, there, what are you hoping that the boys take away from the Manson game to be able to build on heading into this next game?
We just need to make sure we're locked in defensively, keep teams out of the middle. This is a team that really wants to get into the paint. So we need to make sure we're taking that away from them. I would say that would be one of the biggest things we need to make sure we're doing.
With this game as well, who do you feel like stood out for you guys in this game against Manson?
I mean, Dylan Chon and Ryan Clare both had huge games for us. Jack really came on for us and had a big, I would say, second and third quarter. Losing Griffin, he went down with his ankle, which still, we'll kind of day-to-day on that. We'll figure out where we are yet. But I thought those three guys in particular stepped up. I thought Tanner Bating did a great job for us. He scored the easy baskets at the rim. He went out, knocked down a three. He rebounded the ball, played really good defense. So those guys all stepped up. Teddy's always consistent. He didn't hit shots from the outside, but he had a couple layups for us. Always plays great defense. So those are guys who did a good job. Got Nash some minutes in the third quarter. I was really pleased with what we saw from him as well.
with that game as well. I mean, you get Tanner Bating in double figures off the bench. A couple of other guys contributing some big minutes off the bench. So were you pleased to see that as well with your bench stepping in, you know, with Griff going down?
Yeah, I mean, and that's what you have to have. When, you know, if you lose a guy, you have to have somebody step up. You know, this isn't the first time, you know, we've had guys go down. Luckily, we're healthy right now, you know, and knock on wood. Hopefully the flu bug's behind us. And we're able to, you know, we need to stay healthy here going forward and build off of that. But, you know, we've had with Brock's injury, we had Griffin get injured over right before in the Carroll game right before Christmas. You know, we were able to beat Helan without we won the Helan game without Dylan playing at all. So it's, you know, it's something our guys have been through before and we've been able to figure it out. So I look for our guys to continue to do that.
With this game as well, being at home, possibly the final home game for a lot of these kids that are seniors there, what are you hoping that they take away from some of the experiences that they've had at that gym?
You maybe think about it a little bit beforehand, but it is your last game no matter what in that gym. So you want to make sure you leave it all on the court with your effort, with our energy. Make sure we're communicating the way we need to communicate. And then make sure it's not your last game you play, just your last game in that gym. And then after the game, you can kind of soak that all in.
And do you hope that, you know, the guys go out there with the intensity and the presence of this could be our last game every time so that they go out there and want to win?
Yeah, I mean, I think you go into it, you can talk about it a little bit beforehand, but the biggest thing is just make sure we're focused on, you know, the game at hand. That's the most important thing is you got to win this one. This is a big one for us. Again, they're a talented team, so we got to make sure we're ready to go.
Well, Coach, as always, we appreciate you joining us here on the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Best of luck coming up next week as well.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That was Head Coach Sean Minahan joining us here on KCIM.
When life gets busy and schedules start shifting, figuring out meals can get a little tricky. Pizza Ranch is here to make it easy. Stop in for their buffet and enjoy all your Pizza Ranch favorites. Prefer to stay in? Check out their new carryout and delivery deals. An 8-piece chicken box for $16 or a large pizza with 16 boneless wings for just $25. Call today or order any of these offers online at pizzaranch.com. Pizza Ranch just off Highway 30 in Carroll.
Whoa, that's good.
Thank you for tuning in to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show here. Again, thank you as well to Eric Nagel, Shane Vaughn, Deb Danner, Katie Cook, Justin Yetmar, Randy Beeson, and Sean Minahan for talking about their teams here in our area. We're going to run you through quickly our local schedule coming up here for this Saturday, as we're going to have one basketball game on the air as the Kemper girls are at Des Moines Christian at 6:45. It'll be on at Kick 106.7 with Nick Brinks. That is the regional final in a Class 3A, a Region 2 for wrestling. We are going to have Carson Webker wrestling for a state title. That's going to come up at about 6:30 at night, so that'll be the main event of everything there. For the boys, you'll have Trainer Coase and Quentin Polking wrestling to determine if they will wrestle for third or fifth place. That'll be right away at 9 a.m. in the morning. They will then wrestle following that as well, which will have Gavin Holt, Leighton Elmquist, and Jace Peterson joining them to wrestle for seventh place. Everyone, make sure you stay tuned. Go to the CB Sports Network YouTube channel to listen for that wrestling.